WBZ FM and HD Boston. 98.5, the Sports Hub. The Beasley Media Group Station. Sports Hub Headlines.
Bruins beat the Hurricanes in overtime last night, 4-3. Charlie McAvoy with the game winner. Newly acquired Tommy Wingles had a goal and an assist, while new Bees forward Rick Nash had a first period goal. Here's Bruce Cassidy after the game.
No, we played better. We would have had to. We would have got blown out. I mean, we just didn't have it early on. We weren't competing hard enough and winning our share of pucks. And it's not easy to win in this league. They're fighting hard for a playoff spot. And every night, if you don't bring it, then you're going to need special production from a few of the players. But when you play as, when we play as a team, we're a good team.
The Bruins host the Penguins tomorrow night. Free agent Danny Amendola told a crowd of students during a Q&A at Bryant University last night he wants to stay in New England but understands football is a business. Meanwhile, Jeff Howe of the Herald reached out to Rob Gronkowski's representation about his possible retirement. They had no comment. More Patriots news. Bills free agent linebacker and leading NFL tackler last season, Preston Brown, told Howe anytime you can play for one of the best franchises in NFL history, it's obviously going to be an option. Other NFL news. The Packers and Aaron Rodgers talking contract extension. Steelers linebacker Ryan Shazier will not play in 2018, according to the team. And the Panthers have cut running back Jonathan Stewart. Celtics host the Hornets tonight at the Garden. Daniel Tice is probable with a hamstring. Celtics tonight with Grandy and Mack starts at 7 o'clock. Sox play the Pirates in about an hour down in Florida. Headlines are brought to you by Hooters in Saugus, Shrewsbury, Dedham, and West Springfield. But the game is on, the food is hot, and the beer is cold. Hooters makes you happy. I'm Nick Cattle. Headlines coming up at 12:30.
Talking about the Pats, Sox, Celts, Bruins, Revolution, 98.5, The Sports Hub. Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5, The Sports Hub.
A new time hour. Here's Zolak, Bertrand, Hardy, Cattles. Zoe's back tomorrow.
Can I get this off my chest for a minute?
Scheduled to get back tomorrow.
Beetle?
That we know. Scheduled. To make a return.
Did you like his text where he says, I love Florida?
Yeah.
Oh, do you?
Yeah. That's nice.
Do you love being on vacation?
He's such an a-hole when it comes to going on vacation and trying to rub in the fact that he is on vacation and you are not.
The text chain from Zolak, whenever he's gone somewhere, is like like a B-list, low-rent version of Entourage. Right? It's like, check it out, man. Red Lobster. Suck it. All the popcorn shrimp you can eat. What are you guys having?
Sandwiches, you know, just normal food.
Ha ha! Losers! I'm in a lounge chair.
Oh, God. How am I going to do that?
Hey, look at this picture. A selfie of him drinking a beer. Like,
right.
Like,
ooh, jealous much?
I won't say the brand, but there he is drinking a beer.
It's a Coors Light.
I won't say the brand.
It's a Coors Light.
I won't say the brand. Like, oh, look at me. I'm on a patio with palm trees. Like, what?
I'm so happy that I have nothing to do with that text chain.
Look, there's a fire pit. Yeah, I see it, so yeah. Thanks. There's a fire pit.
They made fire, losers.
You
don't have a fire in palm trees where you are.
Look at this one. This random picture of his family eating lunch together. Like, that's nice.
To me, it always makes me wonder, if you're having such a good time, why don't you stop? Why don't you just enjoy the good time?
He took a picture of his hotel. This is a good one. He took a picture of the hotel, so just a picture of the building. Picture of the building.
It's like a step-by-step, play-by-play of his vacation.
And then he took a picture in the garage where all the fancy cars were parked at this hotel that he was at.
Oh, well, there you go.
He went out and took a picture of that. Selfie in the elevator. Okay.
Mm.
Many pictures of the pool.
Now, do you guys ever text him back, or is this just Zoe constantly just texting to himself
much? They do not require any response.
Yeah, no, we don't respond.
So he's just literally texting constantly, and not getting a response, and just continuing to text.
Correct. What am I looking at? Oh.
What is that?
Nothing. Tony and Shirley. Tony!
That's not nice.
Hey, Beto, how you doing, buddy?
Good.
Hey, listen, now, God forbid, I don't want him to go. I want him to play two more years. We got Elvin coming back. I know he'll take that into consideration. But listen, if he does go, like Hogan and all them, they all started off evil. I have the perfect name for him, Beetle. The Patriot. He could be evil, then he'll be turning good. But he won't be able to do those backflips and those, what do you call it, a suplex land on his back. He's going to be limited in that. You know what I mean?
The Patriot used to be a wrestler.
I never heard of a Patriot or a wrestler. Yeah.
Tony never heard of it.
It'd be the Patriot, the Patriot 2. The Patriot 2. I think there are certain things. Listen, if Gronkowski is going to join the WWE, if he ever gets there, to, you know, say that he's going to take as many bumps, which is, you know, falls in wrestling terminology, if he's going to sit there and take suplexes, all those kinds of things, there are a limited number of things that he could do that could still make the match work. I mean, there are people that have wrestled that are not great wrestlers. I think the idea behind the WWE going after Gronk is not going to be about what he's going to do in the ring. I don't think they're going to ask him to do 20-minute matches. He's going to be out there. He's going to be the attraction. And, hey, can you do a 3-minute match? Can you do a 5-minute match? Do a 1-minute match in this big event? I think that's what you're talking about. I don't think anyone is expecting Rob Gronkowski to join the WWE. If he does do so, I don't think anyone's expecting him to put on half-hour miracle, great, unbelievable matches. It's all about marketing, promotion, and the name. The brand
the Patriot.
Of Gronk.
He's going to be the Patriot.
Patriot.
That's what Tony says.
The Patriot used to wear a Lucha Libre mask. The Patriot.
Maybe he'll do the same thing.
Mm.
Probably won't be able to call this rest of this week because I got a bleed blow.
That.
Was it Tony from Shirley out.
Tony from Shirley out. Jim in Providence in. Hey, Jim.
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hey.
Hey, forget about 2013. What about 2010? That was the biggest collapse in sports history. That's like the Yankees having a 12-0 lead in Game 7 in 2004.
That was unfortunate.
He couldn't steal one game for him? Well, they lost four, and we're up 3-0 in Game 7. So until this guy does anything in the playoffs, wins a cup, or plays well enough and doesn't, you know, poop his pants out there, I think he's very questionable.
Yeah, but you know what? Listen, that was bad, but he has since played well in the playoffs.
You know, people forget.
Right? It's not like that was the most recent thing. That's a long time ago now.
You know, one of the major points that I make is people, that they remember, and I get it, they remember, you know, that player being a champion, and I think in their eyes, that means that player is almost flawless. But that's not true. Tim Thomas had a great run. He made some impeccable saves, but Mike from Woburn points out, he tweets at all of us, you know, Thomas was 0-3 in one-goal games in the 2011 finals. The ones he gave up in games 2 and 5, no bueno. You forget, you know, Daniel Conley tweets at Hardy and I, the save that Michael Ryder made. Like, you tend to forget about these kinds of plays where, yes, Thomas won the cup, but to Hardy's point, there are so many things that lead up to that moment.
Wait. We're really going to talk about one-goal games? Do you know that the two of those games he gave up a goal? There are 1-0 shutouts? That's now a knock against Tim Thomas?
No. I think one goal decided the game in a one-goal game.
Yeah, and he's using it as a negative on Tim Thomas, saying he was 0-3 in those games. So we're now going to hold 1-0 wins
but
the cup finals when you were the underdog, a heavy underdog going into the series, as a knock on Tim Thomas?
If you play three games in the final, in the 2011 finals that are decided by a goal,
right,
and you lose all three of those, that's what he's saying.
He
won the games where the Bruins scored a lot more, or at least two or more goals.
But on top of that, on top of the initial point, he also says, you know, the ones that he gave up in 2 and 5 were not good goals. He gave up soft goals. It's just to bring up, you know,
he gave up a goal in game five, and now it's I sucked.
It's well, not that. See, it's why you're going to the extreme. It's not the extreme. It's just if they lost that series. You know, I don't know if people would look back at Thomas and be, oh, man, he was unbelievable, right? Whether that's right or wrong, people will remember the result and just pin somebody along with the result. You know, Tuukka ends up losing, again, two goals in the final, what was it, 17? I forget what it was. 17 sets, crazy set of circumstances. One of those goals was off a skate. Is that on Tuukka, that a goal, the puck goes off a skate? That's not on Tuukka. That goal would have happened against Thomas. It's my overall point is that Tuca's been overall pretty damn good in the playoffs. He might not be the Tim Thomas run, but he's been pretty damn good.
Yes, and he did pitch a shutout in Game 7 and in Game 4.
And he's not a problem if he's playing well. No one is saying that he's not good or isn't going to play well. The thing is that if you have poor play in the playoffs, if his great season doesn't translate to a great playoff run, it can derail everything else the Bruins have done, including a ridiculous night for Rick Nash last night. And I say that because of his ridiculous great save that he made.
Oh,
not his
save.
Goal.
Oh.
His save.
The save.
Does he look engaged?
Tuca
looks engaged so far.
First thing that Tuca does was slap him on the ass with his paddle and then gave him a fist bump afterward. It's like, dude, awesome. No, come here. Thank you. Very, very good, you. You are very good.
I like you.
The angle from slightly in front of the net looked like it crossed over. But the direct overhead shot, you saw where he made the save. It was unbelievable.
We'll get back to that. Bruins, Patriots, Rob Gronkowski stuff, all of it on the table here today on Zolak and Bertrand.
Zolak.
A little bit of badass, a little bit of salt and vinegar.
Bertrand.
Sorry, I said that weird.
Zolak and Bertrand. 98.5. The Sports Hub.
Yes?
There used to be like three videos. That was it. There's like three music videos. That's all there were. There's just a handful of them. And there were no MTV. This predates you, Beatle. HBO used to have something they would play on weekend mornings called Video Jukebox.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
And they would play essentially the same like handful of videos over and over again because bands weren't making a ton of music videos at that time, at least that were palatable for the folks at home box office. And I've probably seen the Eddie Grant video for Electric Avenue more than any other music video in my life.
What's your favorite music video? Do you have one?
Oh!
Huh? One that really stands out?
I figured some things out about life by watching the Divinyls' I Touch Myself. the woman was very sultry who sang the song.
Mm.
It helped me understand things as a... you know, boy blossoming into manhood. Beastie Boys, Sabotage.
I was just about to say that.
That's probably
that's
the number one.
That's a really good one.
Wow, look at what I was watching right now. Yeah. I had it up on the screen watching. I'm like, oh, I know what mine is.
Yeah, it's phenomenal. Yeah.
Wow. It's weird, man.
That was very weird.
Yeah, yeah,
that
ESP
thing. That is weird.
Yeah.
That is weird.
Okay.
Go to the phones. Stephen Warwick on a wrestling question. I'm going to direct that to Nick Cattles. Steve?
What's going on, guys?
What's up?
So, had a funny thought when you guys were talking about it earlier. If Gronk was to ever join the WWE, what do you think his finishing move would be? I'm going to hang up and I'll listen.
Finishing move, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know if you guys want to go down this.
No, I do. No, I do.
I want to use it
as an example as to why Rob Gronkowski should not be thinking about leaving the New England Patriots to go wrestle.
He's climbing up on the top rope. I think it's time. He's going to give him a gronking to remember. Here it comes.
A gronking to remember.
It's the soft porn.
I mean, if they wanted,
I think it was full-on porn book, wasn't it? The Gronking to Remember?
I think it was more of the soft erotica.
Soft erotica.
Yeah.
Okay.
I would think...
I don't think it was quite full-on pornography.
No. I would... To go back to the Gronk finishing move...
Yeah. Yeah, of course.
Something probably corny, because they'd probably play off of his football career, right? Like a shoulder...
Something
a shoulder block.
Corny?
Like a shoulder block.
Do you think it might...
easy there, Beetle. Okay, easy.
You think it might...
Settle down.
Maybe the Gronk spike?
You're
going to spike him?
Mm-hmm. I don't know. They're very wary of guys like pile drivers and stuff. They don't allow those anymore because of, you know, broken necks and concussions and stuff. They tend to stay away from those. Mm-hmm. I think they do something really safe, like the old hacksaw Jim Duggan run across the ring diagonally and give him a shoulder block. Something like that.
I'm entertained just thinking about it.
Mm.
Just Rob Gronkowski in a wrestling ring.
But you guys don't like wrestling. So, I mean, obviously.
Correct.
That's true.
Yeah, so it's,
this
that
is true.
You're not gonna find,
true.
You're not going to find anything entertaining about it. So, I mean, you don't outside the bubble.
As a wrestling fan, do you think he'll be entertaining compared to the top wrestlers?
No. No,
okay,
but you don't look at him.
But he's
not going to be there to wrestle. He's going to be there to entertain. I would not put him in the lump with other guys. You know what I mean? Like, he's not going to go. Yeah, he's not going to wrestle for a half hour, Hardy, is what I'm saying.
All right.
2 minutes, done. In the ring, out, couple moves. I'm Rob Gronkowski. Buy my T-shirt. See
it. Just seems like the people who are like most supportive of this whole idea of him leaving. And of course, if it's due to health, then everybody has their full support. Yes. But if it's because he really wants to wrestle as much or maybe even more than he does want to play football, the people who are in support of this are the people who like wrestling. If you pick something in popular culture that you don't like,
right?
Help me out, Beetle. What's something that people are that some people are into in popular culture? Reality singing shows, The Voice, American Idol. Yeah. You like any of that stuff?
Not really.
Okay. Hey, Nick, Rob Gronkowski is all done with football. He doesn't like the injuries anymore. He wants to pursue his lifelong dream of being a judge on The Voice.
Right.
Where he sits there in the chair and he listens to it and he argues with Christina Aguilera and that stupid bloated country star who, you know, doesn't sing country anyway, but calls himself a good
Blake
country
Shelton.
Guy.
Blake Shelton.
Yeah, that jag off.
He's still on it.
Yeah.
Blake Lambert.
Christina Aguilera is not on it anymore.
Okay, he's going to go be his lifelong ambition to be a judge on The Voice.
Okay.
You think that's awesome?
No.
No, you think it's lame.
I mean, I understand.
That's why I think it's lame.
No, I know. I understand why you guys think it's lame. That was my point.
Yeah.
You guys aren't wrestling fans. What I'm saying is, if he's passionate about the freaking Voice, then more power to him. Like, if he's passionate about... Apparently his dad was a roommate with a wrestler that, you know, wrestling fans would know about, and so this goes back to even his dad. So if he is passionate, grew up watching it, wanted to do it, and he could make millions doing it, why not?
Thanks, Cattles.
Yeah, you're welcome, Gronk. Like, why not do it? That's what I'm saying. Like,
we need to find a way to work that in when Cattles isn't here.
Because you're the best tight end in football, and if your body will allow you to play one more year, I would say that's why you don't do it.
Yeah, but if he doesn't want to do it, he doesn't want to do it.
Okay, I don't want to do a lot of things.
Exactly.
I'm not gonna do those either.
So if he's beaten down, if he's like, I'm done, I've had multiple back surgeries and forearm is all messed up, concussions, blew out my knee, I don't want to go through this
anymore. Well, then he's not leaving for wrestling, and that's been my point the entire time. He's not going to quit because he wants to wrestle more than he wants to play football. He's going to quit because he's done with football. And then wrestling happens to be what he does next.
That's the most fascinating question about this. It's not even if he walks away. It's the why. If he walks away because
he needs to get into the ring.
No. Because
that's not happening.
I made this point yesterday with you guys. He could go back.
God, I hope not.
He could go to the WWE in like 2 or 3 years, right? I mean, there's nothing. So,
like, what are we talking about here? If he walks away early, what? He walks away 2, maybe 3 years early at the max? Than what his career likely would project to be?
Yeah. Like, I think...
You can hang around. It's not. We're not talking about the rest of your life.
If he leaves because of wear and tear, fine. You know? Good luck to you. I think that the real issue is if he leaves, but it's not because of wear and tear. If he leaves because he's miserable in New England, that's gonna be kind of crazy around here.
Yeah, it goes back to Beatles' point from yesterday. Worst case scenario... He just can't stand it here so much that he has to be traded and he goes and plays for another team.
Or cut, same thing.
Do you guys think he's gone?
Has to be cut, like,
if
or
you,
traded.
If you put money on it, would
no.
you think you think he's gone?
No. Not,
yeah,
no,
I think
no.
he's coming back. I would agree. I think he's going to come back.
I'm considering it.
I think
after Curran's thing yesterday, it's back on the table.
Oh, I think he's legitimately bummed and I think he's legitimately contemplating. But if I had a bet, my bet would be he'd be back for at least another year or two. That's what I'd put money on.
I think he's got one more year in him. That's what I think. He's going to do it for one more. And I do think that he's legitimately considering things, but I bet his decision ends up being he comes back and plays another year.
Do the Patriots give in? Does Belichick go to the negotiating table and say, you know what, Rob? We'll give you We'll give you the same money that you made last year without those incentives. We'll give you $10.5 million. That'll make it easy, I think, for Rob. If the Patriots continue to play some hardball here, which some people would lead you to believe they're doing, no, you're on the books for that much money, that's what you're making, then Rob might continue to needle them and bring up WWE via Twitter.
I don't think he's playing them right now, though. I don't think that's what's going on. I don't think this is all about money. Do people like more money? Of course they do. But I don't think that's what this is all about.
But I think
I don't think this is some master grand plan between Gronkowski and the Rosenhouses to get more money out of the Patriots. I don't believe that's what's going on.
But it would make it an easier decision for him if they walked up to him and said, we're going to pay you as the highest paid tight end.
Sure.
You know what was interesting? Like, I forget who said it. I think it might have been Curran last night, but somebody brought up the idea that this isn't about the tight end market. Like, people are talking about tight ends. If Gronk looks at it as, hey, I'm as important as A.J. Green. I'm as important as Antonio Brown. I want that kind of money. That's going to be tough.
Couldn't do it last year, and no tight end really has. I hear that a lot, and I get it. I understand the argument. Why is a tight end who's as important to his offense as a star wide receiver not paid the same? Well, they're just not. And no one seems to have been able to beat that system yet.
Right. Jimmy Graham tried it. Didn't work out for him either.
617-779-0985. Let's go to Matt and Chicopee quickly on Patrice Bergeron. Hey, Matt.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
A couple of things on the game last night. I took my dad to see it. Now I want to get to a Don Sweeney thing real quick. But for one thing, the atmosphere of the games, I've been to a couple here and there. It's kind of weird now. I didn't think about it until I brought my dad, who hadn't been to a game in probably 25 years. But the biggest, except for the game-winning goal, I think one of the biggest responses from the audience last night was singing along to Living on a Prayer. So it was like, my dad's looking at me, I'm looking at him, I'm like, hey, you know, no more gallery gods, Dad. What are you going to do? It's just a different thing. But, I mean, I know it's a Tuesday in February, but it's just kind of weird. But anyway, just a comment. I'm all in on the new guys, just, you know, based on one game sampling, but, I mean, Wingles and Nash. So I gotta give Sweeney some props, but I also got to bury him a little bit. On a weekend when they're making these moves to try to ensure the Bruins are going to have a nice deep run, can you guys please explain to me how it is that Bergeron leaves the game in a walking boot, and then the second game...
Yes, I'm going to explain it to you. X-ray was negative. Sometimes X-rays don't pick up everything.
Isn't that kind of weird?
It actually isn't. Weird. It's actually not that weird. It's not the most comprehensive imaging that's available. You do a CT scan, you get a much better view of things. I think that you could kind of pull away something from this, and that is that it's not a major break, it's not a major fracture, it's something that is small, it's something that is going to heal over the next couple of weeks, and I think ultimately he's going to be fine for the playoffs and fine before we get to the playoffs.
He's the toughest SOB. Like, if you think about it, he played on a broken foot for almost two full games.
Oh, this isn't the toughest thing he's
ever
done.
No, I know.
Yeah.
The collapsed lung, and so I'm just saying, this is just the latest reminder of how tough that guy is.
Yep. All right, checking the headlines with Nick, and we're right back. Got more on the Bruins as well in the night that Rick Nash had, and, of course, this Gronk story, which is not going away anytime soon.
Sports Hub Headlines.
Bruins beat the Hurricanes in overtime last night 4-3. Charlie McAvoy with the game winner. Newly acquired Tommy Wingles had a goal and an assist, while new Bees forward Rick Nash had a first period goal. Bruins host the Penguins tomorrow night. Free agent Danny Amendola told a crowd of students during a Q&A at Bryant University last night that he wants to stay in New England but understands football is a business. Meanwhile, Jeff Howe of the Herald reached out to Rob Gronkowski's representation about his possible retirement. They had no comment. More Patriots news. Bills free agent linebacker and leading NFL tackler last season, Preston Brown, told Howe that he believes he could make the Patriots defense better. When asked about the Patriots pursuing him, Brown told Howe, quote, anytime you can play for one of the best franchises in NFL history, it's obviously going to be an option. The Celtics host the Hornets tonight at the Garden. Daniel Tice is out with a hamstring issue. Celtics tonight with Grandy and Max starts at 7 o'clock. And in just under a half hour, the Sox will play the Pirates down in Florida. The headlines are brought to you by Dr. Leonard Strauss, DMD. Change your smile and your life in just one day. Schedule your free smile consultation now at StraussOneDaySmile.com. I'm Nick Cattles. Next headlines coming up at 1 o'clock.
$1 or more per square foot. Specialty items may be priced separately. License numbers including 112785 available at homedepot.com/license numbers.
Celebrate the spring sales event with a great deal at Bill DeLuca Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram in Haverhill. Bill DeLuca will match your tax refund up to $2,000 towards a down payment on a new car, truck, or SUV. DeLuca's got the deals.
Don't miss Barmakey and Jewelers' huge wedding band event tomorrow through Sunday. All wedding bands are on sale at the absolute best price. Get to Barmakey and Jewelers, Boston, Framingham, and Nashua. Barmakey.com.
Zolak and Bertrand.
Bertrand, you guys do a great job talking sports in the middle of the day.
That's what we try to do here on a sports station in the day.
It's true.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hardy learned things about himself watching this video.
I just learned things about life. I think she died recently.
Oh.
Oh, way to go somber.
That's Hardy. Pleasant.
By the way, I think she's dead, guy.
Oh, thanks, Hardy. Great. Are the Oscars really coming up this weekend?
I believe they are on Sunday.
Really?
You sure?
You watch that, Beetle?
Yes, I will. I do. And you know what? I watch it and then I gripe about it. And I bitch and complain about it. It's what I do. Yeah, it is. It's March 4th. It is coming up this weekend.
Yep.
Yeah. Because there's nothing we all want more than to sit back and watch a group of people pick the best movies based on what the politics of the movie were.
Mm.
Because that is consistently what this thing has become. Is it an award show for movies?
I can't.
Or is it an award show for the politics you like?
Well, my like best picture trivia is not great, so I can't think off the top of my head like the last five movies to win best picture. So I don't know if that statement of yours, Beetle, holds water.
Oh, or not. It's political every year.
Well, let's
every year. And by the way, as I've said before, like I'm on the left, so I agree with their politics,
okay,
and
so,
I still don't care for them to shove it down everybody's throat.
Last year was Moonlight. I don't know what that movie was about. That's weird. That won Best Picture, and I don't ever remember seeing it like, on cable
it.
Or anything else.
I don't even think I heard of it. Like I don't remember even seeing like spots for it.
Spotlight in 2016, which was a very good movie. Whatever you think about the subject matter, just as
yeah, it's not just about
movie.
Best Picture. It's about the theme of the night with whatever movies end up getting most awarded, which movies get extra consideration
right.
when they probably shouldn't have been in the same class as some of the other movies. Tom, you know who's a perfect person to ask about this? Tom, what do you think about the Oscars? What do you think, Tom? T-Bone, what do you make of the Oscars?
Why does Tom...
Yeah, we're not going to comment on that.
No, come on. Give me a little something, Tom.
What's Tom's problem with the Oscars?
It's politics. Come on, Tom. Give me something.
The Hollywood elites?
Yes, there it is. There it is. You got to pull it out of them.
Oh, good
you just got to pull it out of them a little bit.
I don't know about Tom in this whole thing. What's
oh,
that?
I don't know about Tom, period.
I know about Tom. I know about Tom.
Really?
I know Tom's the type of guy that hates the Oscars.
You don't know anything.
You're going to watch it? You're going to watch? Will you watch? Will you watch for us and give us a report on Monday? That would be my favorite.
T-Bone. Look at all these limousine liberals.
Yes. Yes, Tom, I want you to watch it on Sunday, and then you come back and report on it.
Okay,
back to 90 seconds with Tom on the Oscars.
Feel free to listen in on this one,
you
Tom.
Hate liberals? You hate liberals, Tom?
Oh, boy.
Look at that face.
We're not doing
that
this.
That says it all. That says it all.
We're
look
not doing
face.
This. We're not doing this. This we're not doing.
We're not going there.
We're just going to debate whether or not it's all political. All right, so Moonlight, Spotlight. 3 years ago, it was Birdman. Did you see Birdman?
I did not see Birdman.
It sucked.
Sucked.
Technical achievement, but in terms of the story, not that good. 12 Years a Slave. Oh, all those anti-slavery people swinging the vote. Whoa, they're the worst. Can't call that one political. Argo. Now that one is a Hollywood. That is a win for Hollywood right there. Did you see Argo?
I did see Argo.
It's multiple times. It's a fine movie, but Best Picture. Do you know why it won Best Picture? Because it's a movie that kind of is about Hollywood. Yes, it's about getting hostages out of Iran, but it's the way they did it was they created a fake movie and sent people over there to pose as people posing, like scouting for a movie location. And it's a true story, so that part of it is good. But people in Hollywood voted for it said, oh, that is so true. That's exactly how it happens in this town. People will believe anything. Oh, well done. The Artist won in 2012. Never saw it. The King's Speech. I don't think you can call that one political. The Hurt Locker. That wasn't very political. Slumdog Millionaire. Politics in India, maybe. No Country for Old Men. Zero politics in that.
What are you basing this on? Whoever just won the best film every year?
Yes.
Have you not watched the shows?
Yes.
Have you not seen how political they get?
You said that.
Have you not been watching?
You said it's about choosing the winners for
yeah,
politics.
Yeah, throughout the course of the night, how many awards do they hand out? There's a lot more than just one. And just getting nominated is an honor. Never mind just winning.
That's the
being
only one
nominated.
I watch for the end. It's like I watch the final lap of the Daytona 500.
Please. And listen, there's nothing
and
wrong
what
with
a
the politics.
Final lap it was this year.
Crashy bang boom.
Crashy bang. What a waste.
Does that seem sort of unfair?
About the crashy bang?
Yeah, the way the crashy bang happened at the end.
I don't know enough about racing
now, the guy,
to tell you
I
that
don't
it was
either.
Fair
I don't
or not.
Either, but the guy who won hadn't been in the lead at any point during the day, I believe.
Sucked.
Until that point. And then he...
Stupid.
Comes around the end. Isn't that kind of weird?
You drive 500 miles around in a track and one guy who didn't lead all
okay,
day ends
but
up
the
winning.
Oscars are happening this weekend, right?
Yeah.
So does this mean you will watch the movies before you get to Sunday night?
I generally try and watch like one
I
or two.
I do too. I get caught up in this stupidity every year.
And I think I... Okay, so...
Like I try to cram it all in Saturday night. Like, oh, okay, damn, quick. Watch like three movies.
Are we doing this now? Are we doing the Best Picture nominees?
What are they? I don't even know what they are. Maybe I've seen one of them and don't even know it.
I haven't watched a movie.
You dropped this on me today.
Call
and I thought,
me.
You're
here
kidding
we go.
Me. It's
here
this
we go.
Weekend?
Here are the nominees.
What are they?
For Best Picture for 2017. Call Me By Your Name. Never heard of it.
I haven't heard of that one.
Darkest Hour. Which
nope.
I have not seen. That is the one about Winston Churchill, I believe.
Okay.
Which I hear is very boring. Gary Oldman is maybe the best actor living today. That I would say. Dunkirk. Didn't see it. Heard it. Thank you. Oh, thanks, T-Bone. Get Out. Have we all seen Get Out?
Wait.
I haven't seen a movie in a theater in like four years.
Get Out is up for Best Picture?
Yes.
I've seen that one.
What is Get Out? What is it?
I'd get out of here with that nomination.
Yeah, what
it
is
was,
it?
It was okay, but it wasn't.
It's okay.
Best.
Hey, sports fans. Time for the weird.
Zolak.
The wild. Bertrand. And the unexpected.
How's his butt
look? Tight. It looks good.
Good.
Zolak and Bertrand. 98.5. The Sports Hub.
Dominant in the first half, into the third quarter, building a 28-point lead at one point. They stumble towards the finish line, but it is more than enough tonight. They hand the Grizzlies their 10th consecutive loss. They stay a half game behind the Raptors for the Eastern Conference lead and get their 43rd win of the year. The final score, Boston 109, Memphis 98.
Welcome back to Zolak and Bertrand. Hardy in for Zoe and Cattles in for Hardy. Let's go to the expert hotline and welcome in the head coach of the Boston Celtics, Brad Stevens. Hi, Coach.
What's up, guys?
You'd be very disappointed to know that Zoe is not here and therefore cannot ask you a long and rather pointless question this week.
Where is he?
He's flying back right now, but I'll see if I can fill in the interim and just ask the first awkward question of Coach Steven. So
there you go. You got to make me feel at home.
Yeah. What's going on? How's basketball? Good? Good?
It's sweet.
All right. I will ask you this. Yeah. You guys went up early against Memphis the other night and kind of never looked back, and there's a lot of bench play and a lot of stuff. What can you learn differently from a game like that than you can from a more standard contest?
I think the biggest thing is that, you know, you're going to have nights where you have runs like that. And then we got to play better in the second half than we did, but we played so well at the end of the first and through the second to kind of push the lead out that it gave us a cushion. The good thing is that it gave us a chance to rest guys and you know, Kyrie and Al were done in at the end of the third quarter and never went back in. And I think all of those things are good when you talk about the long season. You're going to be put in every situation throughout the course of an NBA season. You're going to be up big. You're going to be down big. You're going to have to handle both of those emotions at halftime. You're going to have to be able to handle them throughout the course of the game. And, you know, every one of those is tough. And being up, one of the things about being a coach in the NBA is when you're up at halftime, you never feel safe till those last few possessions.
The results coming out of the break obviously speak for themselves on some level, but do you feel like you've gotten out of your team all the things you were looking for? I know you talked last week with us about urgency and coming back with the right frame of mind.
We played with the right frame of mind. There's no question about that. I think our urgency has been pretty good. I think our competitiveness has been really good. I think that, you know, all those things added up. That's why that we were able to play the way we did the last three games. And tonight will be a good test of that because Charlotte's won five straight and is playing their best basketball in a year. And, you know, it's very rare when you're playing a team and getting ready to play them. And I'd go through and kind of make my own sheet and to kind of get myself reacquainted with their personnel from a statistical standpoint. And every one of those guys has gone up in their starting lineup since we played them last. And obviously, the NBA throws you a bunch of different curveballs with each team that comes in here. It's a tough league to win in, and what happened yesterday doesn't guarantee anything today. We just have to continue to play with that mindset of toughness and urgency. And maybe we did need the break. You know, as a coach, you never want to say that, and you never want to think it, but maybe we did. Our guys certainly have come back, even in practice, and been very good.
Coach, with Marcus Smart's return, you've been able to utilize, I guess, Kyrie Irving off the ball a little bit more. Just how big of a difference does Marcus make, not only on the defensive side, because we always talk about that, but offensively for your team?
Yeah, I'm a big believer. I've always played multiple point guards together. I think that there's a lot of value in that. The more, you know, there's a lot of guys in the league right now that can play kind of that versatile wing, but those that can also play in the primary ball handling role give you even more options. And I think that that's been really good for us, not only this year, but the last couple years. You know, we played Isaiah off the ball a lot.
Right.
And you know, especially after the first couple of games against Atlanta a few years ago, after Avery got hurt, we were almost forced to play him off the ball even more. And so you need as many ball handlers out there and guys to initiate offense and be able to set yourself up so that you can take the pressure, the on-the-ball pressure off of Kyrie. And also, he's unbelievable coming off catch-and-shoot actions. He's unbelievable coming off single pin downs or dribble handoffs or whatever. And we want to be able to put him in those positions, you know, more and more, depending on how teams are guarding him.
Talking with Celtics head coach Brad Stevens. Brad, what's the status of Daniel Theis for tonight's game?
I just literally got off the phone with our training staff, and Daniel tweaked his hamstring in the last game. I don't know what the official, officially what is wrong other than he felt it a little bit yesterday, feels it again today. We're going to hold him out tonight, you know, obviously with a muscular issue. We want to make sure he's 100% before we put him out there with a bad hamstring.
Coach, that might mean some minutes for Greg Monroe, maybe not. But in a perfect world, I know he didn't play the other night. In a perfect world, what's Greg Monroe's role for you?
Well, I think the biggest thing is, Here's what he does really well. He can post, he can pass, he can play at the elbows and drive it, especially good to that left hand, but has really added what I would say, continued to add throughout the years, a good counter where he comes back to his right hand hook on a spin move. And, you know, that's stuff that he does really well. I think the biggest thing is getting as accustomed as he can to what we're trying to do offensively. And then defensively, getting as accustomed to he can to our pick and roll coverages and what we'd like to do on a from an ideal standpoint. He's gonna continue to get better and better as he becomes more comfortable. The other day I would have put him in the fourth quarter, but I just decided at the last minute that wasn't, you know, we didn't need to do that. We spent a lot of time yesterday on some of those things that I just talked about, he'll play tonight.
All right, and tonight it is for the Celtics with a 7:30 tip against the Hornets at the Garden. Coach, thanks for the time as always.
All right, guys. Have a good one.
Brad Stevens
thanks,
with us here on Zolak and Bertrand. Get caught up on the headlines. 90 seconds, no commercials. We are back with the fourth and final hour.